Coming down the aisle at a combined weight of 436 pounds, the team of Jeffrey Martin, Brian Berga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
And that can only mean one thing. That means you're listening to the High Spot Podcast. Make sure you catch us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast for all this latest news, notes, and guests as the Jersey Wrecking Crew can only bring you. For my tag team partner, Jeff Martin, I am Brian Berg. So excited, Jeff. We're almost close to the go-home for WrestleMania, and we got a great guest on hand, Graham Matthews, we're going to have here talking to him. You guys can catch him on Twitter at WrestleRant. Going to be discussing, breaking down WrestleMania a little bit, breaking down all the things that have been happening. It's amazing, Jeff, what happens in a week right now. We have a situation which, you know, privacy gets kind of
invaded.
Invaded.
As usual now in the social media era.
Exactly. We have, the WWE again. When's the last time we say the WWE doesn't know what they're doing with the talent they have? And also, maybe the WWE might be
on the verge of
doing something pretty big.
Yeah, and and also too, as I speak to you now, I have one hand on the computer and the other one with my luggage because I want to get the hell out of the metropolitan area. But we start the show though on a
It's cold weather. Yeah,
yeah. I can't wait. I really cannot wait. I mean, I can't wait.
Can't wait for that. But
we start the show with a heavy heart because.
Yes.
Very somber and very sad news, finding out the death of Jan Ross, Jim Ross's wife, good old JR. And if you know Jim Ross, and, you know, it's hard to not imagine a wrestling fan not knowing who Jim Ross is, but just everything that he's been through, what he's contributed to wrestling, being the voice of wrestling for over 20 years, and to hear the very tragic news the past few days of what he's been going through and what his family has been going through, we just offer our deepest condolences for his loss and to his family. Know that our thoughts and prayers are with you, and this very little High Spot Podcast show, if he ever, by any chance, listens to it, know that this show this week is in the memory of his wife, Jan Ross, and to the entire Jim Ross family. So this show is for you guys. It's the least we can do for just everything that you've meant to us in the wrestling business.
Well, that's really well said, Jeff. Times like this, it's never easy to say what you're truly feeling because it's kind of hard to find the words. One can only imagine what the whole Ross family is dealing with at this time. And like we said, or Jeff had mentioned before, we can only send our condolences and prayers as we did as she was dealing with her condition, hoping for the best, hoping that miracle happened. Unfortunately, it did not. But at the same time, kudos to Jim Ross for handling it the way he's handling it right now. And all we can do is just be very respectful of it. But again, I think when you think of the word respect, Jim Ross is definitely somebody that comes to mind when you think of that word because he's always been respectful. He's been a stand-up guy his entire life. I mean, I don't think anybody really has a bad thing to say about him, but that's beside the point. The point is that he's dealing with grief, and all we can do is be respectful of that and let him deal with it because we have just so much admiration, not just on the High Spot Podcast, but anybody who talks about pro wrestling or just the ability that he has, the talent he has to commentate is a gift of his. And when you think of all the things and the trials and tribulations of the ups and downs, Jeff, that you and I will go through eventually as we're trying to make it big, you always want those people that you love to be supportive. And, you know, Jan was definitely one of those people. So,
I mean, I know you talk about finding your soulmate. You talk about finding someone that will be your tag team partner for life. And Jim Ross had it. And, in just a span of a few hours, have it taken away and have your life turned upside down, really makes you think. And again, it's beating to a drum, but if you love somebody before you leave, tell them that you love them. Never go the whole day in an argument. It's not as important as seeing that same person the next day. So life is short. Enjoy it. Live it to the fullest. And this show today, as we head to WrestleMania, will be in the fondest of memories to Jan Ross and the Ross family.
And that being said, Jeff and I hold up the two sweet signs up and for JR and all he's going through. God bless the Ross family in their time of grief. And Jeff, there's never a smooth transition to move into another topic from this, but we had to bring it up first because it was fresh in our minds and we wanted to say what we wanted to say. But, you know, talking about your world being turned upside down in the span of, you know, Jeff and I, we go on and we promote our Twitter accounts. We have a Facebook, Instagram, soon to be more abilities to kind of give our program and our product out there for people. And you kind of have to step out of your comfort zone a little bit, allow some people to come in and show a little bit of your privacy and leave that away a little bit. I mean, now we look at, for example, a situation that Paige, still currently signed by the WWE, we haven't seen her in a long time, dealing with a lot of, you know, issues in terms of creative and then dealing with neck issues, which she had surgery from. We haven't seen her in so long. And now to be dealing with a situation where her phone, her account was hacked, all her private photos, videos, basically she had a sex tape and naked photos that were leaked publicly without her consent. And now it's gone a whole laundry list of things right now, because we've documented on the show before, we've spoken to several guests we've had to, Paige and the WWE do not have the best relationship as of now. And so now people are saying, is she going to get fired? What's going to happen here? I don't think you should get fired on something like that. I know, Jeff, you'll elaborate a little bit more in terms of what you think. But right now, things can go from worse to even worse in the scenario for Paige and the WWE.
Well, I mean, I don't want to talk about what happens in your private life, because you should have some form of private life and what she does on her personal time. If she's not hurting anybody, you know, so be it. I can honestly say, unfortunately, I did not view this. I was too late. I was at work, and by the time everything happened, all the sites closed down. So you see some images, but not the whole thing. So I cannot say what, you know, I can only, through speculation or what people have told me about Xavier Woods, Brad Maddox, and Paige. Look, it's your private time. But the only issue that I have is, and again, they shouldn't be fired. And this goes for Xavier Woods or, you know, and Paige. It's not a fireable offense, because it's not like they leaked them out themselves. They got hacked. And in this social media time, you need to be very careful what you do, what you post, you know.
But that being said, Jeff, isn't there some sense of responsibility?
I'm going to tell you this, is that when you're somebody like that, knowing that these things happen, don't, like, for example, when we were talking about diseases, and don't think that you're Superman, don't think that anybody's going, that you're untouchable, you know what I mean? Because when you're young, you feel like, you know, you're going to live forever, but that's not the case. And the same thing is when you're a celebrity, don't think that you're untouchable, that no one's going to get in your business. Because it's going to happen. What I'm upset about is that, you know, you just got to be more responsible. And I don't know whether I was raised differently or whatever, and I'm not criticizing the way Paige was raised, but still, you got to think of some consequence. Is it that important to get it taped? You know what I mean? Trust me, if I'm having a threesome or I'm having something to that extent, I'm going to remember it. I have mental pictures. You know, I don't need to do that, and I would just think too much of the consequences. And to me, I think that's what you wanted to get to, about the responsibility of you know, you're a celebrity, you're a public figure, you should know better. Yeah, she should know better. But should she lose her job? Should she, you know, I think the consequences now that she didn't think of before, with the, you know, kind of anguish that she's going through and the way her family is kind of worried about her mental condition now after having all this stuff leaked. That is the consequences that you don't think about. And that's, I just think, for everybody, you know, us included, you know, we need to just think of the consequences. Think before you do something, especially that's going to get out there and the world is going to see.
What are you holding back?
I'm not holding back anything.
I'm joking. No, you're not holding back.
Because you're looking at me with this face like I'm going to, like, no, I'm just saying, though.
What face? I'm just listening to you and listening to you make your point, though. I mean, I'm in two sides of this, Jeff. For one, I'm annoyed for the mere fact that this happened, because, like you said, you have to be responsible. And a lot of people are saying, well, you know, their celebrities are fair game. But again, you know, just because they do their job and they do their job on TV and they get more notoriety than anybody who does a 9-to-5 job doesn't excuse that situation from happening. And I mean, any normal person, if I'm using that air quotes, can have the same scenario happen to them. People get their identity stolen all the time. Everybody's the victim of here. But for me, it's hard for me to see Paige as a victim, because it seems like since she came into the WWE away from NXT, she's just been very rebellious. And I'm not going to go into the mere fact of how she was raised, but she always seems to, she, you know, sticks to her guns and says what's on her mind. But at the same time, you have to have a filter for it. And I think Paige has kind of put herself in this position more than anybody. I know she didn't put these out there, but to put yourself in that position, you have to take responsibility for it. I don't think she should be fired for it. I think the WWE is really going to just let this thing pass, because this reminds me similar to what happened with Seth Rollins, where Seth Rollins basically,
the
vengeful girlfriend basically just took his dirty laundry and aired it out there for the world to see. And at that point, he was the WWE champion. So, you know, I think it's a little bit easier for Paige because he's not on the main roster right now. It's a little awkward for a guy like Xavier Woods, from the mere fact that when you think of him in the sense of the clean cookie cutter gimmick he's doing with the New Day and the ice cream bars and the unicorns and the Francesca and blown the horns, now it has a different light of its own. I'm sure crowds will start chanting that, especially around WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah, wrong time for this to come out, but
wrong time, wrong place. But yeah, I mean, in terms of where Paige moves on by this, I don't really know, because like I said before, I don't think the relationship is that good. This is not going to make it better. I don't think this will cause anything more to happen than what it will happen eventually.
Listen,
I think Paige will move on from the
WWE. The cord will be severed between Paige and the WWE eventually. I think they need to go separate ways. I'm not trying to be a psychologist, and we're going to wrap this up soon because, you know, this is just, you know, something that's just, you know, you really don't want to talk about, but it's news. Again, Paige never really grew up. Like, she's been in the WWE. So her childhood, basically, you know, she's very young. Her teen years. What'd she win the title at 18?
Divas title?
Yeah.
She won the Divas title at 21. But she's been in the business since she was a kid.
So, exactly. So, I mean, you know, she's been on the road all the time. It's just, you know, a different environment. So, you know, she's still growing up, even before your eyes, at her age, you know. So, that's one thing. And yes, the person who ever put this out should be arrested, should be prosecuted to the fullest extent, because this is just messing with people's lives. And also the fact, too, that this isn't over. And I'm expecting by sometime towards WrestleMania where other photos are going to be leaked, because you've seen there's other names of people that have that there's leaks on. There's Summer Rae, but there's Victoria, there's Melina, and someone I think you'll pique your interest is Caitlyn. So there's a lot of come on. There's a lot of people, you know, that I would say towards WrestleMania, where all the news is surrounded in Orlando, that these, you know, something else might break. So this is just like, you know, how old are we now? You know what I mean? Like this is something like,
no, but it has nothing.
So,
but Jeff, real quick, I know we're gonna wrap this up now, but it has nothing to do with the mere fact, Jeff, that the point I'm trying to make is it has nothing to do with the fact that it's a sex tape. I mean, look, Paris Hilton, Kim Kardashian, it's not the first time we've seen sex tapes of celebrities online. I mean, perfect example, Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee. I think it was the first ever gigantic sex tape where everybody wanted to see it and stuff like that, and it got leaked out and whatever, it was private. Keep your private life to your private life. Don't take those chances. I get it. But it just kind of shows
you. Get a better backup on your iCloud.
Don't put it in the cloud. No, don't put it in the cloud.
Everything goes on the cloud.
Because if you put it in the cloud, you can't retrieve it. It's gone forever. It's open to the public. That's why I have a new iPhone, guys, and I am not touching, I am not linking up to the cloud at all. Not that I have anything to hide, wink, wink. But, I just don't want to do that for myself. But this goes back just to the mere fact, Jeff, but where it gets to the point where certain things that we, you know, we wanted to get up to that level of popularity, but at what point, us as fans, do we need to know things, and do we really want to know those kind of things? And that just fascinates me with the way social media is nowadays. Privacy is a thing of the past. I don't think there's such thing as privacy. And, you know, with this, you have to be very careful. So if anything, hopefully a lesson's learned. But unfortunately, I don't think it's the last time we're ever going to hear it, because people always take that chance and say what Jeff just said. It's never going to happen to me until it does.
And then it does. And then you're like, screwed. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, crap, how do I, you know, keep it from snowballing? But you know what? It doesn't. Turns into a big snowball, and then poof, you're like in the cartoons.
So when I first heard it come out, I just shook my head. I'm like, oh my God, can it get any worse for Paige? And apparently it is getting worse for her. And, you know, ultimately I hope her mental state gets better for it, because Jeff said she's still young. So hopefully she can get over this, and the WWE and both of them can move on from it, whether it's going the separate ways or continuing on the relationship as a business, who knows. But something that really piqued my mind that Jeff brought up to me not too long ago was the mere fact that the WWE, we thought, you know, they were just going to stay in their own little bubble, but regardless, you know, this, we have to give kudos to Vince or whoever's running that ship, if Vince thinks he's not running it himself, that they're still going out there and acquiring talent. What's so funny about that?
it's quite a conundrum there for Vince McMahon, not knowing if he owns the place or not.
Who knows?
How about his car accident that he got into?
That's a perfect example.
Can you imagine you
didn't remember
hitting,
he was driving,
hitting Vince's car, and then him coming out? And if you're a wrestling fan, you like, he comes out and he's like, yeah, and like, oh my God, I just hit Vince McMahon's Bentley. That's crazy.
I would be like, can you sign my car? Can you just sign the dent that I hit your Bentley with? But, yeah, I'd fanboy completely in front of Vince McMahon. But, you know, the WWE still to this point has done a great job, and maybe a little bit less noticeable, I suppose, in the past during the 90s where Vince was just eating up every territory and taking all their talent, and that's where we developed the Monday Night Wars. But the mere rumors going out, the WWE sending feelers, they have some interest in purchasing Ring of Honor. You and I have talked about it before when they were interested in talking to TNA, which is now Impact. Is this a good thing for the business, or is it a bad thing right now? Should Ring of Honor, despite the amount of dollar signs, which we don't know that WWE might be offering them, do you think TNA should go that route? They should stay their separate entity? Because once you get in bed with the WWE, you're in the bed with the WWE forever.
Well, we know TNA is not for sale anymore, but we're talking about Ring of Honor, and you mentioned whether it's good or bad, and you talk about it. And I think I had a conversation with a friend of mine, and I was saying,
yeah, Jeff, you don't have any friends.
I know. I was talking to my imaginary friend, Johnny over here, and I was talking about how, you know, why nobody ever comes up with the word monopoly here with the way WWE tries to, you know, be the only show in town. Now, I know you're going to have the statement where, hey, but they're still TNA. Yeah, that's true, but, you know, these smaller promotions, you look at Evolve, they have a kind of partnership with WWE. You know, they try to get the TNA library. I think that actually costs more than TNA itself, but no go on that. And I think here they want to get talking to Sinclair Broadcasting about the library. It's all about the library because it's all about the network. And they're trying to feed the network. They're trying to get content, more content on that show. It's a driven network, man. Even though it's you can watch it any time, they still need to fill it up with content. And I think what that's going to lead to eventually is them to raise up the price of the network, because we're paying $9.99, and when you take a look at what's there, all the pay per views, every special, all everything that's on there, and you're only paying $9.99, it's you know, it's pretty cheap. You know, and, you know, the fact that anybody can share it and easy access for it, you know, WWE loses a lot of money in that where I can share my password. But, you know, so, and what Brian's mad
don't
because
say that
Brian's
publicly,
mad
man.
Because,
what,
yeah. You don't think WWE knows? You don't think WWE knows about that?
They know about it, but they don't need idiots like you promoting it in front of, oh, well, I share my password with everybody type of thing. Stupid idiot.
You just made the list. Mm-hmm. I'll show the real Brian Trendsetter at Orlando.
But you're right. This shows the monopoly you're talking about, Jeff. And just like it's to me, I would hate to see it happen because I feel with promotions like Ring of Honor, or let's talk about WrestlePro, which we enjoy watching as well. And we're trying to promote them here on the show and are going to catch them in Orlando, Florida. If everybody started just giving in because the WWE can afford it and they take that library, that's basically the bloodline of any promotion. Once you take their library and their video content away, what's left for them to do?
Yeah, and they'll talk that the contracts would cross over to the WWE too as well. How would that work? And of course, when you're a wrestling fan, you're salivating at the names. You got Adam Cole, Jay Lethal, the Briscoes, you know, and when you hear those names and you think of them being on an NXT roster or the main roster, you're like, wow, could this happen? But again, if you're going to do this, then you need to make this a separate entity, because the second that, you know, they cross over to the WWE side, then of course they're going to be made to look inferior. They're going to be made, you know, they're going to be, I guess, sacrificial lambs to the guys on the WWE roster. So, you know,
not that the WWE is
desperate.
As
a fan, you salivate, but then, you know, you also shake your head like, ah, you know.
I agree, yeah, with that you would just shake your head in disappointment, but at this point, like, I know the WWE isn't in need or necessity of purchasing, for example, at that time, TNA's library, or in this case now Ring of Honor's library and all that stuff, and trying to purchase maybe the company itself and putting them on the network, which would be great exposure for them, so they probably think they're doing them a favor. But at the same time, wouldn't favor enough be that if all these promotions kind of just acknowledge each other? I mean, we know the smaller promotions do. Acknowledge, for example, Ring of Honor will acknowledge New Japan, et cetera, and all the other.
Yeah, but I don't think it's in WWE's best interest to acknowledge.
Yeah, but the
promotion.
WWE goes, but how does it not go in their best interest? Because here's the thing, here they go around acting as if they're in this little bubble.
Because
so then they take
the other
talent.
Promotions make money off of WWE. WWE has no financial gain by promoting these other organizations.
Okay.
The only reason, see, I think why it's important for the library is because if you sign a guy, for example, AJ Styles, that library, TNA library, is very important because they want to make money off of DVDs and put it on the network you know, AJ Styles' best matches. That's why the library was so precious. And I think at the end of the day, I think WWE's more interest is in the library itself. But the only problem is that when you sell that library, you know, the rest comes with it. So how do you do that? And so is it a good thing? I guess for the WWE fan, it would be. But, you know, for independent and knowing that Ring of Honor was that number two brand, you're like, you know, you hate to see it go.
You definitely hate to see it go, but unfortunately, there are no other companies. I mean, who can compete with a billionaire right now? Not that many people. And so if they're the only game in town and they're throwing a lot of money in your direction, it's kind of hard from our perspective to see a company like Ring of Honor, for example, you know, negate it because they want the money. They want the platform to use for the WWE Network to promote their stuff, but you're always not going, it's not going to be theirs anymore. It's going to be the illusion that it's theirs, but it's always going to be run now the way the WWE wants to run it. And to me, that's just a shame because right now there's really no competition out there. You hope for these smaller promotions to do it, but if this keeps happening, you know, the WWE is going to be what it's always has been now, the only game in town.
I think it always will be the game in town, unless some billionaire finally decides to be like, I'm going to compete with the WWE, and I'm going to raid their stars and their production value. But listen, man, nobody wants to even delve into that world and take on Mr. McMahon. I mean, it's his world, and everyone just living in it, I guess.
And of course, all those questions will be answered in time, but time is something that we don't have a lot of, Jeff, and we always try to take advantage of our time, and looking forward to speaking to our guest, which we're going to be talking to, Graham Matthews. You can catch him on Twitter at WrestleRant. You know, it's going to be exciting to break down these ideas of, you know, obviously what happened with Paige and the leaked photos and the leaked videos, what's going on with the possibility of WWE purchasing Ring of Honor. But again, breaking down the mere fact that, believe it or not, Jeff, we're about almost a week and a half away from WrestleMania. And the card is kind of set in the sense where you even talked to me about it before when we were off air. Like, this reminds me of, like, man, they could have like 15 matches here. It is a possibility.
15 matches, yeah.
They got to fill in a show. I mean, if they're going to start at 7 p.m. Eastern time, they might as well fill that show up, plus the pre-show. So it's going to be very eventful to see what happens here. But again, I think it's a bright spot, too, because before we would complain about certain WrestleManias not having enough matches in it because everybody wants to be on that card. Everybody wants to showcase.
It looks like everyone will
bit.
Be on the card, too. So exactly. It's going to be interesting. So I had a chance to sit down with Graham Matthews from WrestleRant Radio and, you know, lots of topics, WrestleMania, NXT TakeOver, just all the things recently going on with Paige. So we had the chance for Graham Matthews to give us some time. And this is our interview with Graham Matthews. All right, we have a few minutes here with Graham Matthews. You can follow him on Twitter at WrestleRant. He's a contributor to Bleacher Report and What Culture and also very own radio host for WrestleRant Radio. Graham, how are you, man? How's everything?
Great. I appreciate you having me on. How about yourself?
Good, man. Good here with Jeff Martin and Brian Berga. Listen, man, we're getting into WrestleMania season, so this is a very exciting time. But I got to ask you, anything interesting you've seen on the web recently, or I would say involving a certain WWE female superstar?
Well, I will say there's been quite a few reports, I mean, quite a few news items, I guess I could say, in the past week. Anything is infinitely more interesting than anything happening right now on Raw or SmackDown heading into WrestleMania. From the Ring of Honor report, that from WWE possibly purchasing Ring of Honor that came out yesterday, to I know something else happened a couple days ago, to also including Paige, as you're alluding to as well, from last Friday. Just quite a bit going on in the past week in the world of wrestling. Never a dull time in wrestling.
What's your take on the whole Paige situation? Obviously, WWE, I don't think, will decide to, you know, any punishment is just for her or the parties involved, Xavier Woods. But just your thoughts on the whole thing. I mean, we know that it's your private life and everyone has their own private lives, but still, you know, why take the chance of anything like that leaking out? You know, you think by now we'd know better.
You would think so. I mean, this isn't the first time that something like this has happened, not with her, but I mean, just in general, there have been iCloud, you know, hacks and leaks and whatever for years now. So you would think that people would smarten up. I mean, is Paige at fault? Yeah, to an extent, but then again, it's her privacy and just people are scumbags and this is going to happen. But I don't know, just people just need to smarten up. I don't know if this shit was still on her phone or in her iCloud or whatever the hell is going on. Again, I'm not exactly sure what all the details are. She really hasn't said much on it at all. Neither has the family. They've kind of commented on the situation and stuff that's happened in the past 6 days, not how it really began to begin with. But yeah, just that being said, I mean, I feel bad for her again, just for that. Just, it's her privacy. this really should not happen to anyone. But I think the best thing that can be done right now is her just staying quiet, staying off social media. I guess she isn't doing well according to what her parents said on Facebook. Again, the best thing they can do is just stop talking about it and just let it blow over. And as you had alluded to as well, it doesn't seem like there's going to be any consequences. Not that there should be. I mean, this is her private life. People are going to do what they're going to do. This is from 3-4 years ago anyway. It's not like she did it intentionally. So I doubt there's going to be consequences. Not that there should be, but it's just kind of an embarrassing situation all around.
Graham, it's Brian here. And what I wanted to ask you, too, moving past that, and like I kind of agree with you, it's basically her private life. I don't think really much is going to happen. They'll basically keep quiet, and it's pretty easy now that Paige isn't on TV for that to happen. Speaking about the whole Ring of Honor rumors that are going around in the WWE and them negotiating to possibly buy their library, when you look at something like this, does it benefit maybe Ring of Honor for the mere fact that if they do find themselves on WWE Network, it just helps them platform their product even more, or it will always... It will be under the hold in the hands of WWE.
Yeah, again, Brian, like as you said, I mean, there's definitely pros and cons to it just because on the pro side, they can get their show on the WWE Network, which in my opinion, I think would be the best thing that could possibly happen just because their current show airs on like the Fight TV app. That's where I watch it, and also on broadcasting, which I have no idea how many people have. I certainly don't have it. It's just an absolute annoyance to get to watch the show for a lot of people. People just don't know where to watch it. Like, Ring of Honor, in my opinion, I watch it weekly. It's one of the better wrestling TV shows out there, but there's just not a lot of buzz surrounding the promotion right now. They had one of their best pay-per-views in a long time a couple weeks ago, and very few people knew about it just because I don't know if the company awareness and their promotion isn't great, a lot like Impact or TNA, whatever the hell they're calling themselves is. But just the whole situation with the WWE, again, from what I understand, again, not all the details have been released yet. Nothing's close to confirmation whatsoever. But from what I understand, it seems like WWE is doing this to limit the competition, which I completely get. And I mean, at this point, does it even really matter? I mean, WWE is taking so many of their people, not that they're just stealing them from Ring of Honor, but so many people have left Ring of Honor, not just to go to WWE, but so many people in general. Donovan Dijak just left. Leo Rush, I believe, is on his way out. Adam Cole might be leaving soon, one of their biggest stars. So this might be the best thing for them. Again, I'm not exactly sure how that would work out. Guys like the Young Bucks and their relationship with New Japan and how they wrestled over there too, and Will Ospreay and guys like that. I don't know if they would pick up all the contracts. I highly doubt it. But just to get their show on the network alone, if they were to purchase the company and let their promotion just keep running the way it is, but still give them exposure on like the WWE Network, that would be optimal. But again, it just depends on how this all works out, which is still unknown at this time.
Yeah, I think everyone's happy because, wow, we get to see them on a larger platform in WWE. But then we're scared of, like, wait a minute, though, WWE does tend to, you know, kind of kill something that's not their product. But, you know, you're talking about Adam Cole and, you know, the new champion, Christopher Daniels, who, you know, congratulations to him for finally becoming the Ring of Honor champion. You had a chance, actually, I think, upcoming interview with Christopher Daniels. Did you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. I appreciate it, sir. Yeah, I got to talk to him a couple weeks ago ahead of the pay-per-view, ahead of their 15th anniversary show, like I said. Just a great friggin' show. Like, for anyone that may not be a Ring of Honor fan, there's a lot of people out there who just aren't aware of the product. I wasn't for a very long time, but I started to get into it a couple years ago, and I've been watching the TV show ever since just because it's really, really good from an in-ring standpoint. But yeah, their pay-per-view was great. Daniels, as you had said, beat Adam Cole in the main event for the Ring of Honor World Championship, and just a great match. And we had Daniels on the show. I got to talk to him a couple days ahead of the show for an interview that went up on Sportskeeda that Friday, the day of the show. And then I aired the audio of the interview that went on my podcast, Wrestle Rant Radio, the following week. So, yeah, that is available for people to check out if they want to check it out on NextAirWrestling.net, too.
Well, that's great. That must have been really exciting. I mean, with all the work that you're doing, though, do you ever mark out or there's somebody right there that you would actually want to interview right now at this point?
Oh, absolutely, dude. Absolutely, dude. I'm the biggest mark in the world. Like, I am standing here talking to you right now, doing you guys' show, wearing an Austin 316 t-shirt just because it was 20, and I'm such a mark for, like, dates and shit. It was 20 years ago today that Austin and Brett had their WrestleMania 13 match. We just got done doing a podcast an hour and a half ago, talking all about that match and just the iconic awesomeness that is Austin and Hart from 20 years ago. I own countless wrestling shirts. I'm the biggest mark in the world, but... Yeah, no, every time I get to interview someone, whether it's a Christopher Daniels a couple of years ago, I got to talk to Chris Jericho last year.
Oh, you lucky bastard.
a lot of these people, I never forget not forget where I came from, because I'm only 21 years old. I'm standing in my college dorm room as we speak right now. So it's not like I started watching wrestling like 30 years ago or whatever. But whenever I get the opportunities to do this kind of stuff, I really appreciate it. I just mark out on the inside. I try not to mark out on the air with these people. It's really hard to, and I'm a big fan of them. But I watch all the shit. Like, I watch Ring of Honor, TNA, WWE, NXT, whatever, Lucha. And I just grew up watching these guys, and I tell them I appreciate them and shit like that, just because. And I go to all the shows that I can. It's really cool to be able to talk to people that you kind of grew up watching on the TV, like on wrestling, on Raw, and whatever else. It never gets any less surreal for me. I'm going to my first WrestleMania next weekend for the first time, and since I started watching wrestling, for me, again, it's just a huge goal. So yeah, I just never feel I get this thing called markoutitis every single time.
Yeah, I like that word.
Or like when something happens on Raw, when I just get really excited, like Samoa Joe showing up or whatever else. That inside mark in me, no matter how old I get, will never go away.
Oh, that's amazing. I mean, that was the next question I was going to ask you. From the mere fact that, have you even gone to WrestleMania? You just said you're going to go to one, your first one here. I got to tell you, from experience, I can probably speak for Jeff on this. Once you go to one, man, it's going to be hard. It's literally like a bug. You can't get rid of it. So we would definitely.
And now that you know that it's in
well.
New Orleans, now you know that next year's in New Orleans, you're going to get that bug again. Like, as soon as you come back, you're like, oh, I'm going to New Orleans.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I know they were in, obviously, New Orleans for 33 years ago, 4 years ago by next year. I live in the Northeast. Obviously, I think you guys are on our Northeast base as well. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's also closer. Florida, I think, is the closest it's come to me anyway. I mean, obviously, Louisiana isn't that far. I mean, I'm not going to take a flight out to California to go to WrestleMania 31, despite how great that show was. But, yeah, I mean, like you said, I mean, once I go, it's going to be hard to not go again the following year. That happened for me anyway, a couple of years ago. I was at SummerSlam 2015, which was my first ever pay-per-view at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. Had a great time. And at that point, I was like, I can't not go next year. So I went next year, and I'm probably going to go this year too, just because knowing that they're so close and the fun they had there, it's probably going to be the same thing for WrestleMania, as you guys said. So I can't wait to experience it.
Graham, we are just like, getting towards like single digit days now on the countdown to WrestleMania. And of course, this past Monday and Tuesday, you had Raw and SmackDown. Just your thoughts in general leading up to WrestleMania. You excited? The anticipation? How you feeling about the card so far?
Of course, personally, I mean, it's hard to not be excited just being there. But putting that aside, just speaking solely from the standpoint of in terms of the buildup to the show, it's been pretty lackluster. I can't really compare it too much to past years, because the buildup to the past couple WrestleManias has been pretty poor. I mean, even for 30 and 31, in my opinion anyway, was not all that great. The events themselves were amazing, but the build was not all that great, which I think a lot of people tend to forget. And this year's kind of a no exception. I mean, it's hard to give every match on the card like equal attention when you have two shows and like 15 matches on the card, and it's going to be a six-hour show at the very least. But I mean, there's a couple. I would be lying if I said there's not a couple matches that could steal the show, like Austin Aries and Neville. I think Shane and AJ, despite the fact that I think AJ should be in a bigger match, it's still good for what it is, and I think the match itself could be great. Triple H and Rollins has been building for years now. That should be really, really good. I'm looking forward to that. The women's matches could be pretty good. Jericho and Owens, another match I'm really looking forward to. So, again, overall, the build's been pretty, underwhelming in my opinion, but it has had its moments. I think it can exceed expectations in being a strong show if booked properly.
Speaking of that, though, Graham, you're speaking about moments, and everybody likes to say, you have to go now for WrestleMania moments and out there. Do you feel like WrestleMania now, specifically more than maybe years prior to it, has become more of a nostalgia act because of all the part-timers that tend to return around this time? And I've had debates and discussions with Jeff where he gets really heated because he feels the part-timers take a lot away from the full-timers that are there, because, I mean, they're the ones working the year-round to help promote the product. So I guess this is a twofold question. Does it become more of a nostalgia act? And what are your thoughts on the part-timers coming in, basically being put in those main event situations where you would want guys like, for example, AJ's or Kevin Owens to be put in it?
100% agreed, absolutely. And I'm really glad you said that, because that was my biggest criticism of WrestleMania 32. I said it right after the show ended a year ago. I still say it today. That Mania for me was entertaining. I watched it back for the first time since last year, a couple weeks ago, to kind of do a retroactive review of the show, a retrospective review, whatever. And it was entertaining now as it was a year ago. But I said it then, it's all about the moments. That WrestleMania was all about moments. Like 31 was a bit different because, in my opinion, that WrestleMania helped push forward the future. Yeah, for the most part. I mean, you had Seth Rollins walk out as the new champion. John Cena beating Rusev wasn't ideal, but I mean, it led to the U.S. Open, which was one of the best parts of 2015, and all this other stuff coming out of that Mania. 32, like, it was all about, it was moments. Like, it's great. Like, I'm sure if you were there, like, you would have loved it. It would have been the greatest Mania ever. That's cool. Like, Austin coming out and getting that great pop. Okay, that's cool. That's a cool moment. But what does it do for the New Day? Like, they went out there, they lost to League of Nations, who broke up a month later anyway, and they get stunned by Stone Cold. Like, who does that really help? And then, like, The Rock and Cena, which I still think was one of the dumbest segments they could have done, with the Wyatt family and the Eater of Hot Pockets and all that other bullshit. Like, that didn't help the Wyatt family. Like, I think people argue, oh, they got the rub. Like, they didn't get the rub. They got, I hate to use the word buried, and I don't know if they got buried, but it's like, it was stupid. It didn't help them whatsoever. So again, that Mania, I think, was just purely about moments, WrestleMania moments, which is cool, but it did nothing to step forward the future. I think the next night's Raw accomplished that with AJ Styles winning that Fatal 4-Way and like guys like Enzo and Cass arriving and all that other shit that happened that after Mania. But it shouldn't be that way. WrestleMania should also be about, you know, creating new stars and focusing on the future in addition to kind of reflecting on the past. And I'm hoping that's what this Mania will be, you know, will improve upon from last year. Like, it's hard.
Do you get that feeling, Graham?
You know, I mean, I hope so. I mean, at the same time, it's hard to say that when we have Brock Lesnar and fucking Goldberg in the main event for the Universal Championship. But at the same time, I mean, again, I'm really hoping they prove me wrong and they make a new star and they don't make the same mistake they have in past years. Like, Jericho and AJ, love the feud, great match. Why did Jericho win? Like, even a year later, that makes no sense. Like, they need to have Rollins beat Triple H. They need to have AJ beat Shane. God forbid if he loses again at WrestleMania. That would be a massive mistake. I'm trying to think of other...
Oh, my God. If Shane wins, we know who's rioting right now. We'll be like, that's Graham right there. He went to ringside.
So, Graham, here's my issue, man. Here's my issue with the Shane-AJ thing. I've accepted it, but you have a guy like AJ Styles who's been, you know, wrestling, God knows, 20-plus years. And then he only has a certain, you know, point in the WWE, you know, a couple more miles in those tires, right? And for him to take on Shane McMahon kind of leaves you like wishing, man, I wish there's so many other dream matches like a Nakamura or a Samoa Joe that I would really go crazy as a wrestling fan. Are you a little disappointed that all they could think of was Shane McMahon? I know it's complimentary, but still, Shane McMahon?
Again, I completely agree. It's not like he's facing like Bo Dallas or Titus O'Neil or like Yoshitatsu, and I know he's not in the company anymore. Yoshitatsu's like my go-to jobber guy, but I mean, then again, Shane McMahon, like you said, he's a McMahon. He's a big name, and obviously it's an honor for AJ to wrestle a McMahon, but at the same time, it's like, come on, like AJ Styles, who had, you know, the absolute best year of anyone in 2016, I'm not saying, I mean, he should be in the main event, but if he wasn't in the main event, that's okay. He doesn't have to be in the main event. But at the same time, I thought it just would have been a lot cooler, a lot more fitting, had he been in a bigger marquee match against... I mean, I would have been fine had they saved the Cena match from the Rumble for Mania. Like, if they had Cena beat AJ at WrestleMania for the title, it makes... I'm like, even now, like 2 months ago, you had John Cena beat AJ for a 16th World Championship. That's a big friggin' deal. And then Cena's in some random mixed tag team match, which the build has been good for, but it's like, that's a vast difference between what he was doing 2 months ago. And AJ's in a match with Shane, like... That to me is just really weird. But yeah, I mean, it would have been cooler for me if AJ was in a bigger match in Orlando where he, you know, single-handedly with a lot of other people are, you know, admittedly helped build TNA. That was his home for so many years. The same place where he debuted at, you know, 14 months ago or whatever it was. Like, it would have been a
good
lot
point.
Cooler for him to go full circle from the Rumble a year ago in Orlando to then... Maybe not headlining WrestleMania. I don't think anyone would have argued against it. But either headlining WrestleMania or being in a second to third last match for the championship in Orlando, I think it would have just kind of written itself. In terms of other opponents, I mean, there's a million opponents you could put him against. There's guys from Raw. You could do an interpromotional match. Balor's healthy. I mean, now he is, but I mean, you could have done that at the last minute. You could have done the Cena match at WrestleMania. Nakamura, as you had mentioned, maybe. I mean, I don't know if you have Nakamura losing his first match, and I don't want AJ to lose 2 years in a row, so I don't know how that would have worked. But even like a Kurt Angle, like a Kurt Angle and AJ match, who Kurt Angle's gone on the record and said he wants his last match to be with AJ Styles, or to have that match in WWE at the very least. Like, you could have done, there's a million different options that don't include Shane McMahon, who had one of the most disappointing slash boring matches in recent memory at WrestleMania last year. I am a bit disappointed, but a lot like you, I have come to accept it and hope it is a lot better than I think it will be.
Something that I've come to grips with, Graham, to try to grasp and just deal with is the mere fact that no matter how much, I mean, this is similar to what we dealt with John Cena, no matter how much we reject it, deny it, the WWE is going full force with Roman Reigns. That's going to be the guy, not the way Roman Reigns says it. And now, talking about AJ Styles and how, you know, there's not many more years left with AJ Styles. Who knows what's going to happen with him? He's going to hang him up pretty soon. With The Undertaker and this match with Roman Reigns, how do you see it working to the point where if Roman Reigns does get over in The Undertaker and say this is The Undertaker's last match, which they've been speculating for years, oh, this is going to be his last one, this is going to be his last one, can the WWE honestly look at themselves and say, this is a great idea by putting Roman Reigns over The Undertaker, retiring him, and keeping him face? Wouldn't this be the perfect time now, which he has so much negativity towards him in terms of reaction, to turn him heel?
Oh, easily. I mean, I keep on saying that as well, but at the same time, I hate to sound like a broken record, because I feel like I've said that a million times, at least a dozen times in the past 2.5 years. I mean, it all started with a Rumble 2015, and it's been all downhill since then. And it's not his fault. I mean, Roman Reigns is really good. For people who chant, like, you can't wrestle on him, that's a joke. I mean,
that's wrong, yeah.
For fun. But, I mean, the guy's had so many great matches, that's a joke. But at the same time, this company is doing him no favors by not turning him heel. I mean, you look at the Usos, who aren't, you know, main event level competitors like Roman Reigns is, but they went heel and they got cheered on Tuesday for whatever reason when they won the tag team titles, because people now like them because now they've changed their characters after God knows how long. Neville, same exact thing. Guy was dying to death for so many years as a face. The company did him no favors by giving them the damn cape when he walked down to the ring, but he went heel and he's one of the best things going on Raw right now. Like, I think Roman Reigns, again, those guys aren't WWE champion material, but Roman Reigns, I think, can experience, you know, something similar if they go heel with him first. And they can go back to having being a babyface in 1 year's time. I just laugh at the idea that they're going to have him beat Taker and then still get cheered and then be cheered if he beats Brock for the belt at some point, whether it be at SummerSlam or fucking WrestleMania next year, whatever. That just doesn't make any sense.
Where do you think the hesitancy is with the WWE in turning him heel? Is it because they just want to him the face?
It's cash.
Have the kids cheer him and buy his merchandise? From a business standpoint, I mean, what does it make sense of?
Yeah, just maybe like the cash for the kids and merchandise, but does he really move that much merch? I know he is a big merchandise mover, but does he move that much merch? Like, I mean, I know AJ has gone up in merch a lot since he debuted a year ago. It just feels like, and I'd be a hypocrite if I said, like, AJ is also not doing his job as a heel. Like, he gets cheered every single time he goes out there because he's great, and he's miscast as a heel. They need to turn him face at some point, too. So doing a little flipperoo with him as the face and Roman as the heel, as the top face and heel in the company, I think would make perfect sense.
But would it be fair to say, though, Graham, that the mere fact that we cheer AJ Styles is the fact that we know all he's accomplished, everything he's done, and so it's like the same thing with Jericho. I mean, the guy goes out and he can make the list a main event on Raw, a 3-hour show, and be the top thing of the list of trying to find it, and we just cheer Jericho and AJ Styles no matter what they do because we just admire them so much. With a guy like Roman Reigns, which it looks like everything has been handed to him because the company is pushing him, can't you see the distinct difference between the two of those?
Oh, definitely. I just think in the fact that with AJ, I mean, he can be a heel, and I mean, he's been a great heel, don't get me wrong, but I think AJ, not that he was being booed as a face a year ago, a lot of people, he was still getting a lot of fanfare, but you compare the reactions that he was getting, that he's getting now, to 1 year ago, there's like no difference. Like, he's being cheered way more now than he was a year ago, and now he's a heel. So I think, you know, going heel first and then going back to being a babyface at some point, which is only inevitable, I think really helped him out. With Roman Reigns, again, it's not really his fault, but he's just being miscast. Like, what you just said about Roman is 100% on point. why they don't see that themselves, I just don't understand. And I think he can be a top star for this company for as long as they keep him face and shove him down our throats the way they are by having him potentially retire the most beloved guy in the company and then still keep him face. It's just doing more damage to Roman Reigns in the long term. So again, I hope they turn him heel first, but at this point I've lost almost all hope considering the fact they have not yet done in the past 2.5 years.
You know, we talk about being miscast heels and faces. Someone that who is a great heel and someone that, you know, if you put behind AJ, had an amazing 2016, and it's The Miz. Now, when I first heard about the match between Cena, Nikki, Maurice, and The Miz, I was like, oh, really? But to give credit to both of them or all the parties involved, they've made this must-see a matchup at WrestleMania, because I'm looking forward to this because I think they kind of put a lot of realism into this match. Your thoughts on how much you're looking forward to this matchup?
I'm in the same boat. I mean, again, I'm not going to put in the same categories like an Aries Neville or a Triple H Rollins because I don't expect the match to steal the show. I mean, it's a mixed tag team match with Nikki Bella and Maurice and Cena and Miz. So I don't expect the match to be a 5-star classic, but the build itself, yeah, has been really entertaining. I will say that I'm a big Miz fan. I think him and Maurice are absolute money right now as a pairing on TV. And even the total Bella's bullshit, whatever the hell they called it on Tuesday, the parody they did on Tuesday night, I loved it. I mean, I think a lot of people may not have liked it. I mean, I saw a lot of love for it online, but I mean, you either loved it or you hated it. I really enjoyed it. Cena and Nikki doing their thing on TV is cool for them. They've never done that before they go their separate ways on TV. I don't know. But just to have their little WrestleMania moment, if Cena proposes.
Does he propose? Do you think John Cena will propose?
I think they will. I think they will. Honestly,
wow.
Well, because they've really been pushing it. Like, if they didn't bring it up as often as they have been, then I'd say no. But I said when this was first rumored a couple months ago, they have to have him do it. Otherwise, I mean, the build has been cool, but it's like, they're gonna have Cena and Nikki win and leave again after Cena films a show. At least they could say, like, if Cena and Nikki win and they have Cena propose to her afterward, at least they could say they're off TV to go get married or whatever. Not just, I mean, I feel like having them win and then leave, because I know Nikki's taking time off or something, and Cena is too. To have them win and then leave, I think would be just dumb. So, but yeah, I do think he might be proposing. That's my gut feeling.
Oh my God.
You Nicole, guys just before I give you this ring, Nicole, there's something I need you to sign.
You know, but the funny thing is, it's just, yeah, just the perception of Cena and Nikki from Miz and Maurice on TV is so spot on. And I think so. I mean, just from what I've seen anyway, and I just think I'll admit this, just, you can hate me now, you can hang up the phone if you want to, I'm a huge Total Divas mark. I've seen all the shows.
Hang it up. Hang it up.
Season 6, my friend, has been must-see. Like, no joke. The other seasons, I admit, were shit, but this season has been great. Miz and Maurice are awesome together, both on-screen and off-screen. I know it's scripted as all shit, but you know they're looking for that one moment with Cena proposing to Nikki. They've been teasing it since day one, and as a faithful viewer of that fucking show, I've been waiting for Cena to pop the question. For as much of a douche as he comes across sometimes, I've been waiting for him to propose to Nikki, and I'm hoping it happens at WrestleMania. If he doesn't, then I already don't like Cena all that much, but I'm really hoping it happens for the love of that show.
Well, I kind of liked you at the beginning of this interview. Now I kind of don't like you right now. The fact that you're a freak, Total Divas mark right now.
First and last time Graham Matthews will be on the show.
No. It does bring an interesting point. Jeff said about, you know, maybe he proposed to WrestleMania and that'll be a quote unquote WrestleMania moment. You know, copying the whole Miss Elizabeth, Randy Savage scenario where they got back together and people were crying in the audience. I don't know if people will cry then, but oh my God, it's ridiculous. But
you know what? I might be shitting. Okay, I don't know if I'd be shitting a tear, but I'll be definitely doing the yes chant. If and when he gets down on one knee and starts doing the proposal to Nikki Bella, I'll probably be the only goddamn mark in an entire 70,000, stadium filled with 70,000 people. I'll be the only one in that entire goddamn arena doing the yes chant as he proposes to Nikki Bella.
And you better not be wearing the Feelers T-shirt is from Nikki Bella. I swear to God.
Oh, yeah, dude, yeah.
I swear to God, you better not be wearing that T-shirt.
I can see Graham, like, sitting there with the Fearless and the and the Nikki Bella cap. Oh, God.
The thing is, I'm not even a huge Nikki Bella fan. Like, not that
I'm you're a Total Divas fan.
Listen, you know what gets me mad is that Maurice bought a house behind the Miz's back. I understand you're going to buy if you're going to buy a dog behind his back, but when you buy a house behind his back, that's, to me, like, come on.
Okay, I will say this. I saw that episode, and I love Miz, But it's like, come on, dude. Like, there's at least three straight shows where she pulls shit like that. Where she's like, oh, I got a dog. And he's like, oh, okay, whatever. And she's like, oh, I got a house. And he's like, oh, I'm mad. And then he's like, oh, it's okay.
A dog's different than a house, Graham. Come on.
This Total Divas segment has been brought to you by...
That's what I'm saying. I totally agree. He's like, oh, you know, it's no problem. Just tell me next time. It's like, dude, she just bought a fucking house behind your back. Like, that's not a faithful wife. Like, what the fuck is wrong? I know this show is scripted, but it's like, that makes no sense. I'd dump her ass in a second. I don't care how hot she is. That's just dumped him in.
I don't know about that. I mean, I know Jeff's in the scenario, too. Okay, like, would you dump her for that? It'd be hard kind of dumping Reese for something like that. Despite the fact that she might be, you know, his sugar daddy, but moving on from Total,
I don't know if we can move on after this.
I don't know how you move on from Total Bellas right now, but something that's been more intriguing in terms of storyline has been the you know, the best friends scenario between Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens. I mean, there's no doubt. You're talking about, you know, loving and marking out for, you know, Total Divas and marking out when you see guys like this. I'm jealous of you right now that you got a chance to interview Chris Jericho, because I kiss his butt every single time Jeff and I do the show, because he's just that talented. He's proven time and time again how, to me, he's the last of a dying breed where he's had that much experience and has the caliber of reinventing himself. There's no doubt in my mind he's a Hall of Famer. And you look at Kevin Owens and the incredible time he had in NXT, his short run, and the impact he had in the WWE, kind of going back and forth. So with these two rivaling each other, I thought, okay, made great sense. Although I'm sure a lot of people were disappointed when the friendship ended between these two.
I shed a tear that night.
Yeah, Jeff was shocked when he saw it. Although that poster painting was amazing, though. I'm going to get that off W Shop as well. They're selling that on W Shop.
Are they really?
The poster. The creation of KO, it's called. It's amazing. But in terms of the way it's working now, and, you know, I initially thought it was probably going to be for the Universal title, because I didn't feel that the Goldberg-Lesnar needed it. Probably does for storyline references, but I thought it just meant more if you're going to build up a new title like the Universal title. But in terms of this storyline, we kind of have an idea that Jericho's going to be going on the road with Fozzy. My question to you is, after this is over and if Kevin Owens becomes United States champion, does he have the ability to reclaim some of the momentum he might have lost after dropping the title to Bill Goldberg?
I would hope so. I mean, both for his sake and the title's sake. I mean, actually, that's interesting that you bring that up. I do think Owens is winning. But at the same time, he did say after Fastlane, he's like, oh, I want my rematch at some point. You would think that they would have given his rematch already either on Raw or like the MSG house show, just to get it over with. Because if they're going to have him win the U.S. championship, would he still go after the Universal title? Like, that doesn't make any sense. I want him to just focus on the U.S. championship, the same belt he should have held 2 years ago when he was feuding with Cena and he never lost it to Owens. I don't know why, but still, I think him as the U.S. champion would be great. You can get some great matches out of it. I mean, as much as I do love this feud, I don't want to criticize it or whatever, and it's been great. My only real gripe with it is the fact that the U.S. championship feels completely lost in all this, which is not a surprise. I mean, it was on Roman Reigns for 6 months or whatever, and he didn't give a single shit about that belt.
It was a backpack, basically. It was a backpack.
Exactly. It was a backpack. It was basically a carry-on for all of his flights and stuff, just extra weight that was unneeded. But at the same time, yeah, Owens winning at WrestleMania makes the most sense. I think Jericho's leaving after Payback, I want to say. So after the post-WrestleMania Raw pay-per-view, whatever, to go tour with Fozzy. He might be staying while he's touring. I'm not exactly sure, because I know none of the tour dates
have Mondays in them. Yep.
Yeah, so we'll see. But, with Owens beating Jericho, I think the feud's been great. It should have been over the Universal Championship. It's a shame that it's not. Goldberg and Lesnar's fine as a main event. Not a huge fan of it. I think Owens, too, I will say this. I think a lot of people... Not that people think he's a dick, but it's so funny. Like, Jericho, you know, is like a great dude. Like, he comes across as a great dude. When I got to talk to him a few years ago, he was fucking awesome. Owens, too, I got the chance to meet him a couple months ago over Hell in a Cell weekend in Boston. He was the absolute nicest dude, one of the best wrestlers I've ever met. And he comes across like such a dick on Twitter and shit, and on Raw. Obviously, he's playing a character. But he's another dude that's just super chill and recommend anyone to go meet him at some point, whether it be at Access or an autograph signing, whatever. He's another really cool dude. One of the most genuine wrestlers I've ever met.
It's Graham Matthews. Follow him on Twitter at WrestleRant. You actually find that picture of him and Kevin Owens on his Twitter profile. So I pay attention to my guests here. Talking about the Universal title. Now, me and Brian were joking around that we have 15 rumored matches. There's like 13, but there may be two more, right? And the reason why we're saying this is because they're each going to go like 25 minutes, because we know that Goldberg-Lesnar match is going to be what, less than three, 4 minutes?
Minute and a half.
We think total annihilation on the part of Brock Lesnar on Goldberg. Do you see any way that could be a different outcome?
I mean, it almost has to be that way, does it not? I mean, you can't have another 10-minute match. Because the best time to have them for them to have a good match was in 2004. And it sucked then, and then it's going to suck worse now. So, I mean, I hate to say it.
No, man. It's all...
shit. What'd you say?
No, awesome, man. It's, we want to know what you really feel like, you know what I mean? And that's why we're saying, like, wow, there's 13 matches. So we know that there's going to be, like, 25 minutes per match. They're going to be given full time because we know that the Goldberg... Brock is going to be a short match, but we see Goldberg just being annihilated by Brock Lesnar, and Brock Lesnar walking away as the champion.
I got to agree. I mean, first of all, Brock Lesnar has to win. The guy's a loser if he doesn't win again. If he loses again, just fire the guy. He can't lose to Goldberg three times. That's just a complete waste. He's a loser. He's a loser in storyline. You can't do that. So Goldberg has to lose. Brock Lesnar has to win. It's more a matter of how he wins, as you said. I feel like having him beat Goldberg in 2 minutes would have been fine as an attraction match, you know, elsewhere in the card. As the main event, I mean, again, I don't want to see it a two-minute main event, but if it saves me the time to go to my car and leave and parking time and all that other shit, then I'm completely content with it. At least to go off with a new champion, we don't go over time. If the show ends at half an hour early, you know what? I'm not going to give a shit because the show's already going to be 5.5 hours long by that point.
If you make it to your car, you'll see the pyro coming from the stadium at least. You can get a better view of it.
Exactly. It'll help me find my car a lot quicker. Like, they're just doing me a lot of favors here. I really appreciate the company. They're doing a lot of favors as opposed to leaving at fucking 12 o'clock at night when the show ended at midnight last year. They had to go an hour overtime to give us that glorious main event of Triple H versus Roman Reigns and the masterpiece that was. So, at the same time, I think giving these guys a minute and a half for Mania in the main event, I'm fine with it. As long as it gets me out early, then that's cool.
Well, we're talking to Graham Matthews here, and Graham, there's no doubt from speaking to you the short time we have here, and again, we thank you so much for your time. You're just a diehard fan. You mean you talked about marking out and it being a surreal moment hanging around with these superstars and interviewing them, and just being around it that you're going to be at WrestleMania as well, and the excitement that entails that. I must tell you right now, and you probably know this when you get there in Florida, it's going to be more of an experience than anything. You're going to enjoy the moment and enjoy it for what it's worth because it goes by way damn too fast. My question for you is, what really got you into this? I mean, Jeff and I, we were watching it when we were kids. We never really grew out of it. Became something we're just very passionate about, and we really had a lot of enthusiasm talking about it. Talk to me about, one, who's your favorite wrestler growing up, and two, what really caused you to want to take this avenue as a career?
So, if you didn't hang up the phone the first time over the Total Divas thing...
If you give me another woman, God damn it.
Well, okay, if I said Total Divas got me into wrestling, I would hang up myself. Like, I would be ashamed to even be talking to you right now, just because that'd be just completely embarrassing. Actually, it was not. But I will say this, though. It's contrary to popular opinion or how a lot of people started watching wrestling. I'm a relatively young fan. Again, I'm 21 years old, but I started watching wrestling a lot later than everyone else. I just got into it a lot later. I started watching, and admittedly, not a great time compared to the Attitude Era, and even the Ruthless Aggression here, I started watching in 2008. So 9 years ago, April 14th to be exact, 2008, 9 years next month, because of one man. And I was already a huge fan of USA Network, so I was kind of watching Raw on occasion. But the one man that got me hooked, and to answer your second question, my favorite wrestler of all time, Jericho's up there. Not a popular opinion, but CM Punk is up there. There's a lot of people up towards the top of that list, Christian too. But the man that single-handedly got me into wrestling was William Regal. When he was Raw general manager at that time, that guy got me hooked on wrestling in an instant. I fucking love William Regal. Thought his work at that time was great. So again, it's not a very popular opinion for people to say, oh, William Regal's my favorite wrestler. But he was then, he is now. I know he doesn't wrestle now, but...
No, I mean, but he's highly respected for his career. He's done great stuff with
NXT.
Great scout.
He's
a great scout of talent. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be far-fetched. If you were going to tell me, like, you started watching it for...
You're putting me on the spot, but I was kind of like, okay, you know, I was kind of thinking, you know, you're going to say something
James
like
James Ellsworth,
or Chuck and Billy or something like that,
Chuck
right?
Chuck and Billy, yeah, exactly.
No, but honestly, though, one of the toughest guys in the wrestling business. So we wouldn't laugh at you. We respect that, Graham.
So is that what kind of caused you to start watching it and then want to pursue this as a career?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It was William Regal's reign as Raw general manager from that period in time. At that point, I was hooked. I was watching that. I only remember his segments from that time period, but thank God for the network. The network is the greatest thing that ever happened to wrestling fans. You can go back now and watch every Raw ever. Every Raw ever is now currently up there, which is great. Now they're uploading old NXTs and SmackDowns and all this other shit. But anyway, so, yeah, Regal got me into it. Watched every week from that point forward. Now I watch pretty much everything. Then I would watch, like, SmackDown later on, and then I got into TNA and Ring of Honor only a couple of years ago. But even at that point, 9 years ago, I mean, I think when I first started watching, I was in 8th grade maybe, or 7th grade when I first started watching. And even then, I loved to write. So I'm a big believer that you combine your passions. And I'm obviously very passionate about pro wrestling, very passionate about writing. So I just kind of combine those two loves for wrestling and writing. And I've been doing it since pretty much since I started, but officially since Bleacher Report since 2010. And I've been writing for a lot of other websites and other shit since. But yeah, I mean, I do other writing stuff for like my school and about sports and shit. But wrestling is my number one passion, obviously. So I write about that the most. But just with wrestling being a never-ending story, the storytelling, the in-ring action is amazing, don't get me wrong, but what really hooks me in about the wrestling business is the fact that they tell a story, and it's never-ending. Like, any TV show ends after a couple seasons. Wrestling never ends. So that's my number one reason for loving this business. So that's how I got into it. That's why I love to write. That's why I love wrestling. And hopefully, that my end goal is to become a writer for the company. Maybe not a creative writer, but just a writer in general.
Yeah, if you're a creative writer,
you don't
want
that job, Graham. You don't want that.
You don't want that stress in your life.
you don't want cigarette butts flicked at you.
Either you'll be fired in 2 weeks or you'll quit voluntarily.
That is true. But just to be any part of that business and not change the industry, but help build a foundation.
You want Dewey's job, basically.
Exactly. I want to be Dewey Foley. Yeah. I don't want to be part of a shitty TV show. It fucking sucks. But if Noelle was my Foley, if Noelle Foley was my sister, I wouldn't complain either then. I think that kind of being in that position would be pretty cool. But yeah, that's what got me into wrestling.
Graham, man, thank you so much. Graham, we're going to be at Mania, so hopefully we can catch up there, all right?
Good shit. Yeah, hopefully we can hook up at some point. I'll be there Friday through Monday. I'll be TakeOver 2. I cannot even put into words how excited I am. So, yeah, looking forward to the show. Hopefully looking forward to seeing you guys there, and I'll catch you down the road.
All right, man, keep in touch. Thanks for the time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. I'll talk to you soon.
And a special thanks goes out to Graham Matthews, host of Russell Rant Radio. Guys, catch him on Twitter at Russell Rant. Jeff, with all our guests, it always feels like we can continually talk to them on and on and on, but, you know, I feel the excitement's there, man. I mean, we've talked about ad nauseum, Jeff, and I know you get sick and tired of me always saying, you know, the road to WrestleMania, all that stuff, blah, blah, blah. But
we're here, man.
It's amazing. And, it felt like you and I doing this show, it's felt like a longer process to actually get to this point. But, you know, it's right there. And, you know, when it comes to, for example, talking about the part-timers, which I know you're very passionate about, and talking about how you elevate stars and the whole Roman Reigns situation with The Undertaker and what happens with guy like AJ Styles and why is he working with Shane McMahon. The mere fact that Shawn Michaels was offered the match and he turned it down. Damn you, Shawn Michaels. I'm joking. I love you, Shawn Michaels. I'm sorry. Forgive me. A WrestleMania moment's not trying to be more manufactured than ever before.
Worry about that, man. I'm not going to go to WrestleMania and wonder, is this manufactured? No, I'm going to go there, scream off the top of my lungs, enjoy it, then come on there with you and critique the matches and recap it. I'm not worried about how they become so fabricated. Come on, Brian. I know everybody here at in the wrestling business now want to be, Brian, you guys, just enjoy WrestleMania, because when we got to the whole part-time, full-timers, I made the case why, you know, this sucks for the full-timers because they get kind of phased out for WrestleMania. But you know what? I'm not going to care about WrestleMania moments. When we're down there, we're going to enjoy the moment. We're going to enjoy it for what it is. And then we will get on the case whether we need to or not. But honestly, the WrestleMania moment, to me, that topic is overrated, because are you honestly, every match going to be like, is that a manufactured moment or is that a genuine moment? Are you honestly going to do that at WrestleMania?
Well, I think it's more substantial than the whole part-timers thing that you're worried about, because at the same time you said to me, what's the point of who worries about part-timers? You're still going to go to the event anyway, yet you're so obsessed with the fact that why is Bill Goldberg champion and, you know, AJ Styles is an opportunity. Does it really matter now? We're going to see AJ Styles regardless. So yeah. Doesn't that become very, you know, obscure?
And I think you have to manufacture moments sometimes, because I think that's the business that they're in. They're trying to put butts in seats. They're trying to sell tickets. So some of them are going to be kind of forced upon. But I think us as the wrestling fans, the ones that are, I'm not going to say smart, but the ones that are aware of this are going to, you know,
you can call yourself smart if you want.
On this one occasion, I'll be call myself smart. And I think we're going to, you know, just like with Roman Reigns, how they try to force feed us and manufacture him as this larger-than-life guy like John Cena, the smart wrestling fan is going to be hesitant towards it. So I think that if we know what's manufactured and what's not, we're going to be okay. But I cannot wait to scream off the top of my lungs, land on that freaking plane, have a pina colada with a trendsetter, because we've got so much catching up to do. We've been so freaking busy that it's going to be good to catch up, man. And that is what I'm looking forward to.
We're going
to
be just as busy in Orlando, too.
I know. We got WrestleCon coming up on Thursday. We've got the Hall of Fame on Friday. We got a bunch of interviews that we're going to have to try to squeeze in. Hopefully, we get to talk to our boys, Brian Fritz, Nick Mayberry, Scotty Fishman, Chris Featherstone. We made so many friends this past year who have come on the show. Maybe Graham. Graham is heading down to WrestleMania. So we're going to be busy, man. But I definitely, the first thing we do is once we get there, breathe in that fresh air and then have a pina colada with my tag team partner here, the trendsetter Brian Burgo, because you know what? It'll be well-deserved, because we've busted our butts this year to make this podcast the very best it can be. We're getting there. We got some announcements also coming up, too, down when we're down there. Some partnerships and also some ways that we will also distribute the show. Bigger and better things are heading our way, and we can do without you guys, the listeners. So please listen to us. Follow us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. You know the Facebook page, High Spot Podcast, and Instagram. We'll be posting everything and anything down there in Orlando, Florida at High Spot Podcast. I cannot wait. One more show where we preview WrestleMania from beautiful Orlando with my tag team partner, the trendsetter Brian Burga.
Yeah, and don't forget, we'll be doing a lot of video blogs as well, so you'll definitely see some faces, and you'll see my ugly mug there every now and then. So
I wouldn't say ugly mug.
Yeah, so not something to look forward to, though, especially with this beard. But like I said, Jeff, I'm looking forward to it as well, and it's really exciting. Next time you guys hear us, we'll be in sunny Orlando, Florida, like Jeff said, doing the High Spot Podcast and catching up with all the people we've met and trying to do this whole great collaboration. A lot of content being put out there, so please listen to it. Please follow us, and please give us your thoughts and opinions, too, because those matter to us as well. So, for Jeff Martin, I am Brian Berga. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew, and you have been listening to the High Spot Podcast. So after listening to this, and in Orlando, Florida, oh, Jeff, it's going to be just
too sweet. Yes, I like pina coladas. Ow!